Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Inspiring you to bring God back into the conversation of the day. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I don't know if you tried to get up early and see the blood moon. I did, but skies where I live were completely overcast, and so I saw nothing. I assume that we had a red moon, but I didn't see it, so I cannot verify that. Paul Perreault, did you get up early enough to see the blood moon?
I was up early enough, but it was too cloudy here as well, so.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go by faith that it happened. You're growing your faith verse of the day. So today's growing your faith verse of the day. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I want to unpack this almost word by word. All scripture, not just your favorite ones, not just the ones that, you know, you like or that align with the way that you think, not just the ones that are a comfort in times of distress. All scripture, the parts that are hard to understand, the parts that are hard to swallow, the parts that cut us to the heart, all scripture is inspired by God. All of it. There's no part of it that you can leave on the table and say, yeah, that part's not for me. God means that for someone else. Nope. All scripture is inspired by God. And the word inspiration is critical important here. What does it mean for all scripture to be inspired by God? What does the inspiration of God mean in relationship to the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible? They're God-breathed. That's what it means. To be inspired is to be God-breathed. And so the scriptures are the exhalation of God's spirit onto a page that we would have something of what God has said and that it would be preserved over time in a way that we could share it one with the other, that we could be recipients of it generations beyond the point in time when the first person put their hand to paper and by the inspiration of God set down God's word upon a page. All scripture is inspired by God and useful. Let's talk about the word useful. You know, something's only useful if you use it. So the usefulness of God's word is only realized if we use it. And what is it useful for? Well, there's four things here, but it's really like a chiastic structure. So there is, it's framed by teaching, and then the internal part is about sin and correction of sin. So to teach, it's useful to teach what is true, right, or righteous. And then if you go down to the very end, it's useful for teaching us to do what is right. So not only do we learn from the Word of God what is true or right or righteous, we also are taught how to do what is true, right, and righteous. And then it is useful, God's Word is useful to make us realize what is wrong, to bring us to an awareness of what is wrong, but it's also useful for correcting us when we are wrong. So do you see the structure there? It's useful to teach what is true and make us realize what is wrong, correct us when we're wrong, and teach us to do right. You see that structure there in 2 Timothy 3:16? So it's only useful if we use it. So let's talk about how we are using the Word of God and how God is using it in our lives. Where in the Word are you today? As always, I'm going to encourage you to be in the Word of God before you get out there into the world that God so loves. Later, we'll walk through some passages of Scripture where I am today. I view these as Election Day related passages of Scripture, and so we will dig around in those a little bit later. But right now, we're going to jump into a conversation with our friend Nick Pitts. He's a fellow at the Institute for Global Engagement. He joins us next. We're going to talk about Election Day And yes, for those of you wondering, when's Carmen going to talk about the Astros and how God was so involved in this particular victory? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have Nick talk with us about that up next. Because we're nothing if we're not, here to cheer for those who are cheering today. Hey, that's not Nick Pitt's walk-up song, but it is today. Nick, welcome back. Good morning.
The trolling nature of Paul right now in this moment.
Trolling?
Oh, my goodness.
Trolling?
It's enough. It's a, you know, some team won some award south of Dallas. And you, all of a sudden, we just have to talk about it. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And you know that song? It sounds a lot like those garbage cans they were beating when they cheated back in 2017. I mean, I'm not saying, but I am kind of saying.
You're saying.
Okay. So I feel like I should scroll back and read one of my scripture passages that I was going to read earlier today about, you know, how we're gonna treat one another today, win or lose,
you know,
win or lose, right?
You know, no, bitterness and resentment are what do they do? They root themselves down in the spirit, but right now it's fueling my spirit right now with that team from the south of Dallas did to us.
I know. So, well, you're my go-to culture guy, and this is kind of a culture thing. And there are some Astros who one of the things I found fascinating about this year's World Series is there were people on both sides of the contest who were using faith in a very demonstrable way and suggesting that, you know, God was heavily involved. And I don't deny that. I mean, God cares about every person and every event and everything. But I do find it a little strange how much or how public the expressions of, hey, God is going to give us this because, you know, we have asked him to do so. Or in one case, you know, one of the pitchers, his parents actually like prophesied 4 days in advance, the no hitter, like these kinds of things where I'm like, huh, these are very curious storylines in 2022 America.
Yeah, just to acknowledge reality, the team south of Dallas, the Houston Astros, have won their second World Series title in, I guess, the past like 5 or 6 years. They beat the Phillies over the weekend, 4-2 to claim the title. And like you said, Carmen, faith has just infused on both sides, both teams, but specifically with the Astros. They've got an incredible team there. They've got an incredible chaplain down in Houston that really does a great job with that team. And you had just phenomenal storylines that you would just come to expect from this Astros team that just performed exceedingly well all throughout the season and then got hot in the playoffs and just did remarkably well. You have a no-hitter, even though it's not technically a no-hitter, 4 pitchers combined to no hit the Phillies in game 3 with Christian Javier being just a pretty faithful guy and being someone that does mention God and references his Christian walk in social media posts as well as interviews. And then obviously if you paid attention to the Astros, you know that Jose Altuve, who has just always been not only just a rock star on the field, a source of great discomfort for me as a Rangers fan, but it's hard to hate him because he's just such a good man, apparently off the field as well, very much outspoken about his Christian belief. And then it goes back to just a steady hand that's even leading the team with Dusty Baker. I believe he's managed for 26 years in the major leagues and has not won a World Series title in those 26 years until this year. And again, very much a faithful man from all that we know from reports. And then just kind of some of his comments, just it's hard not to like him. Rangers fans can find a reason not to like them. But as a Christian, you want to celebrate with those who are celebrating and they've done an incredible job, just to rebuild that team from that 2017 debacle.
And for those of you who wonder whether or not there might still be something that God wants to use you for in this life, and you say, I don't know, I feel like I've like aged out of productivity. Dusty Baker at 73 became the oldest manager ever to capture a World Series title. And so, you know, this is a guy who's been at it a long time. We just want to, I don't know, we're going to rejoice with those who rejoice. And yes, we're going to weep with those who weep. But I got to tell you, from a like financial forecasting perspective, every time the Phillies have won a World Series, ooh, the economy has like horribly, horribly tanked. So I'm kind of thankful they didn't win. There you go.
And the Phillies are just, they're an incredible team that very much their success at the World Series is tied to financial turmoil in the U.S. dating back all the way to the Great Depression, to the 80s bust, to even the 08 debacle. Every time that they win the World Series, it's never ended up well for the American economy. Now, obviously, there's just because it happened, the correlation doesn't equal causation. But if we just want to be honest, we've all had kind of a rough 2022 from a financial perspective.
No doubt.
We don't need the Phillies winning.
Yeah, we don't need the Phillies. All right. So just one reminder here. Every single one of these boys on the field, like, right, are still little boys in the hearts and minds of somebody. So if you're a mama out there, or you're a dad, a grandpa, a grandma, and you know, you got those little people that are suiting up for softball or for baseball or for t-ball. You know, this is like the dream that's in every single one of those little hearts. And so, you know, it is America's pastime. And I know you might say to yourself, why is Carmen talking about the World Series? Because for every single one of these players and their families and their grandparents and their parents and their children and their brothers and their sisters, like, this is the storyline of the day. This is the biggest thing happening in their lives. And the biggest thing happening in America today might be the election. But in every single one of our lives, there's something that's big that's happening on our own personal level that's never going to make the headline news. And so I just wanted to be mindful of that today, that the things that make the news may not be the things that are sort of driving the conversations in our own heads and hearts and homes. But for these families on both sides of the World Series and everybody involved, like, that's what's driving the news in their lives. So just wanted to highlight that. All right, Nick and I, when we come back, yes, we're going to talk about the 435 House seats and the 35 of 100 Senate seats and the 36 state governors that will be elected today across the United States of America. The election headlines up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen. As you know, this is a rebroadcast of the live radio show carried on the Faith Radio Network. There's a lot going on at Faith Radio. Tons of free resources just waiting for you and for you to share with others at myfaithradio.com. How does that all happen? Well, it happens through listener support. So Faith Radio, Mornings with Carmen, all available because of listener support from listeners, well, just like you. If you're a supporter, thank you so very much. If you'd like to become a supporter today, just visit myfaithradio.com. And again, thanks for being a part of what we do every day at Mornings with Carmen. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good? Nick Pitts has joined us today, as he does every other Tuesday. He's a fellow at the Institute for Global Engagement. They produce something called The Briefing, which you can find at thebriefing.net. Good place to turn for the way you can bring the mind of Christ to bear on the headline news of the day. Today is Election Day. That is certainly going to be the headline that is screaming across every media channel for sure. It may or may not be, you know, like the thing driving the news in your own life, because you may be thinking, how am I going to care for my kid? Schools are closed today in many places. Some schools scheduled to be closed in advance because they are sites where, you know, polls are taking place. People are voting. But other schools are closed today because of the flu. That's going on across the country as well. So 435 House seats, 35 of the 100 Senate seats, 36 state governors, which is the majority in the country. I don't know. My math is that good. But there are also 132 statewide ballot measures in 37 states being voted on today. Abortion literally on the ballot in five states. The legalization of marijuana on the ballot in five states. The legalization of a wider variety of gambling, like handheld device gambling, in a number of states. There's lots of states voting on measures described as related to, quote, direct democracy, voting rights, and those kinds of things. What are you voting on in your state? Have you already voted? Are you voting today? Love to hear from you on the text line, whatever you want to contribute, 877-933-2484. Nick, what do you want to say about today's elections?
I am a giddy school child. Today is voting day, election day. There is nothing better than the energy of walking into a polling place on election day, if your schedule can allow, and just seeing the beauty of America, in which individuals have fought bravely and given the ultimate sacrifice so that we might be able to freely elect our leaders, so that individuals may have the space to be able to pursue after happiness. And for those of us who believe it to be true that Jesus is Lord, it's an opportunity for us to love our neighbor by casting our ballot in such a way that we might be able to share the good news of Jesus, that politics matters, but the kingdom is of greater importance. And it's just I just love the idea of election day. Not the biggest fan of these extendingly long campaign seasons that's happening, but there's just a lot of good things that are happening. And really, I'm really excited to see here in Texas specifically, some of the measures that are going to be on the ballot, as well as being able just to see the beauty of America and electing our own leaders freely. It's just a pretty neat thing.
When you say election day, this is sort of how my Christian brain, right, I don't know, jumps into that. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that before the foundations of the earth, you know, God elected me. Like, I'm so glad that I have an election day, and it has nothing to do with what happens in the politics of the time and place where I live. Like, I'm so secure as a citizen of the kingdom, you know, having come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I just, like, that's one of the things where my mind leaps. I know I'm not normal, so there you go.
Yeah, obviously there is a piece. If we're just being completely honest about the zeitgeist, I mean, the polling indicates it. 80% of Americans on both the left and the right believe it to be true that democracy is under attack right now, that if the other side were to win, it would cause the detriment. It would potentially would destroy this great American experiment. And we can just zip that in the bud right now. The reality is democracy was at risk, and this was at the very, and this election decided it all. The reality is we had already lost it, but that's not the case. The fact that individuals are increasingly going to the polls, polling numbers are even up from 2018, the last midterm election cycle. That is great news to share. And then just from a Christian perspective, I absolutely love, there's a writer, Samuel Johnson, from the 18th century. He says, how small of all the human heart endures that part which laws or kings can cause or cure. Politics is important. It's a really incredible way to love your neighbor, but it's not the only way. And the reality of the matter is, what is of utmost importance is the gospel and God's kingdom and his advancement and his, not only his care for you, but his salvation he offers towards you. And politics will never be able to fix that eternal issue that we all face, that eternal void that is in all our hearts. And politics can't fix that, but God can. And politics is a good gift, but it's not the ultimate gift. And to make sure that we consider it still as important, but it's not of utmost importance, especially in the zeitgeist and the height of the day and in this current day we find ourselves living in.
All right, Nick, we got a friend on the text line this morning that's totally going to 100% make your day, so brace yourself. I mean, I love this. So David texts in and he says, well, there was a local political candidate who came to my door yesterday. He doesn't say whether or not, you know, this is the person for whom he is going to vote, right? Uh-huh. But he says, I prayed with him and I think he was blown away.
Love it.
I love that. Like, you changed that guy's life, David. You changed his life. He's been knocking on doors, God knows how many hours every day during this campaign cycle, and you prayed with him. I love that. Thank you so much for doing that. That's awesome.
So great. Just to remember what is of utmost importance. Yes, politics is important. Don't want to diminish that. But my goodness, there is something of far greater importance that we cannot vote on, but that has already been decided, which is that God loves us and that God wants the best for us.
Hey, would you indulge me for a quick prayer here, Nick? Will you hang with us while we pray?
Of course.
Holy God, you're the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one from whom all blessings flow, in whose hands all of history unfolds. So thank you for the opportunity to have a voice this day. In the way that our government runs. We praise you for allowing us to live in a time and a place where our voice and our vote counts. So God, grant that today would be a day of peace. Bring order where some would seek to sow chaos. Bring conversation where some would seek only rancor. Have your sovereign hand over this country and divinely grant that your will be done on earth this day as it is in heaven. Grant the very peace that passes understanding and give us a unity of spirit, even if the outcome is not what we would have preferred. Holy God, help us to see that you are in control of this phase in our nation's history, even when it appears otherwise from our personal vantage point. And in each one of us, God, for our small part, let others see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Nick, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the fellowship of the Spirit and the bond of peace we enjoy with you.
As always, so great to be with you, Carmen.
Just fantastic. That's Nick Pitch. You can find him at the Institute for Global Engagement. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Faith Radio. Thank you for those of you texting in this morning. The number is 877-933-2484. What are you and your family dealing with today? Because that's the news that matters most and the concern that is top of mind in your prayers. And I totally get that. So let me just remind us that every headline story is the story of a person and a family and a need and a place and a challenge. Everyone, literally everyone, is facing challenges of many kinds today. I know you are. I know I am. Our stories don't make the headline news, but they do drive the conversation and the prayers within our own hearts and families and places of work and churches and circles of friends. So I don't want us to lose sight of the intimate personal needs of one another, even as we seek to be informed about, you know, the challenges that are being faced around the world and across our country. So let's take some time to tend tenderly today to those around us, to one another, recognizing that everyone is carrying a heavy burden today. So here's a thought. What if we just asked one another in a word, to give our burden a name? So if I were just to be one-on-one with you right now and say, what if you could name your burden, if you could give it a one word, what's the word? It might be the name of a person. It might be a word like cancer or infertility, depression or fear. If you had to give your burden a one word name today, what would it be? Text me at 877-933-2484. What's your one word that I can be praying for you today? This is Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, and this is Faith Radio.
The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around.
All right, joining us now, Luke Moon from the Philos Project and Providence Magazine. All right, Luke, I gotta I gotta do something before you and I have the opportunity to jump into what we had planned to talk about today, because I was just led before you came on to just invite people to try to capture in a word the burden that they're bearing, and that we would then together lift those up before the Lord. And I, you know, I said it might be the name of a person, or it might be, you know, a one word like cancer, infertility, depression, fear, on and on and on. And people have texted those in to 877-933-2484. And I don't know, we probably already have 100. And so wow. I just want to say to people, I see you, I hear you, I am absolutely making a list, and I'm going to be praying through each one of these words today. For those of you that have texted in prodigal or the name of a person, for those of you dealing with pain or issues of trust, praying for work, the list is just so long. Compassion, heart's desire, democracy, like on and on and on and on and on. Thank you so much for sort of taking the, trying to capture it in a word. I know that's a challenge, but it also makes it possible for us to pray for one another really directly. I can pray the word mistrust, and God knows what's going on there and everything that you need. And I'm going to lift that up before Him and intercede for you today on your one word. So if you haven't done so already and you want to participate as well, just text your one word. Give your burden a name, one word, and text it to me, 877-933-2484. Luke, as I was saying that, do you have one word?
I'll go hope. Hope.
Good. Hope. Anyway. Hope. All right. Yeah. I'm going to pray the word hope, and the person I'm going to be holding my hands. Like I like to hold people up before the Lord as if they are water held cupped in my hands. And I just hold. So I'm just going to hold you up today, Luke, with the word hope. And God knows everything that's captured in that. And so that's going to be my posture today as I hold up each person in their word. Talk with us about what's going on in Israel. Like crazy number of elections. I mean, we're having election day here in the United States, but they have like very, very frequent elections in Israel. It's a little bit crazy to some of us. And Benjamin Netanyahu is now back as Israel's prime minister.
He is. Well, you know, elections took place basically last week, and Bibi is back. That's the big story. I mean, the reality is that, you know, like so many other places in the world, even the United States, the populations are really split in half. I mean, Carmen, can you think of a place in the world, when the actual democracy is taking place, where the line isn't something like, you know, 49-51 or 49.5-50.5 kind of separation? The world is really like split in half. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of the elections in Israel. I mean, it's a coalition government. There's 120 seats in Knesset. And, you know, the parliamentary system has a model where, you know, in the United States, we form our coalitions and then we vote. In other parliamentary systems, they vote and then they have to form the coalition. And the last coalition fell apart. You know, somebody got upset with somebody else and said, I'm out of here, and it collapsed. And so they had elections and Bibi's back. The changing nature is that every time that happens, particularly on the right, and a little bit on the left, there tends to be some new parties that come together. And the big one, the big news kind of this time is a group or a party called the Religious Zionist Party, which has been accused of being very right wing and, very like aggressively right wing, not the normal kind of right wing that, you know, all right wings get accused of, but like, you know, one that when I look at it as a guy on the right, I'm going, wow, that's pretty right wing. So that will be interesting to see how, Bibi being back and this new coalition that is pretty much the furthest right there has been. You know, how it plays out. I mean, Bibi is probably one of the best political tacticians in the world. There's, you know, I have a list of probably three or four others, but he is a brilliant political tactician, and he was able to pull off another election, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. So I highlight that globally, and then I want to, you know, I want you to remind us, because the Jewish people are like utterly unique in all of human history, in all of geopolitics. Like, they have this utterly unique relationship with God as the Jews. And then we think of Israel and we think of the modern Jewish state, and it's not, you can't equate it with the biblical, you know, state of Israel. And yet they bear the same name. And so sometimes that's a little bit tricky. And there are all kinds of conversations about, you know, what's going on there in terms of the unfolding of human history. But it does shine the light on Jews and Judaism and Jewishness, which then leads me to these American headlines about anti-Semitism. Can you help unpack a little bit for us what's, I mean, it's clearly on the rise. Can you remind us what it is and some of the ways in which it has like publicly manifested itself of late?
Yeah, well, anti-Semitism is really hatred of the Jewish people. I think it is rooted, there's an irrational nature to it. I think it's rooted in the fact that the Jewish people are the people by which God brought his moral revelation into this world, and the world hates them for it, right? And the degree to which, like, Christians are hated, it's because they hated the Jews first, right? And I think that irrational hatred manifests itself on an ongoing basis around the world in various scenes. And currently, it kind of bumped into the headlines. I mean, it's, Carmen, it happens every day. Like, you know, I track anti-Semitism, and there is an incident every single day in the United States. Mm. And not like, you know, and we're talking things like swastikas on synagogues. We're talking, you know, the FBI on last Friday put out a warning to all the synagogues in the state of New Jersey that there was a credible threat against them. I mean, it's like so weird. And I think it's, you know, one of the things it kind of has bubbled up recently because of Kanye West's statement. He's the rapper who he had an interview with Tucker Carlson, and the outtakes of that interview included some pretty aggressive anti-Jewish rhetoric. And as a result, he was like, you know, I'm going DEFCON 3 on the Jewish people. And that kind of, like, everybody was like, whoa, okay. And, you know, he lost a lot of contracts. And then a basketball player, Kyrie, don't remember his last name. He a couple of days later, tweeted out a movie or a documentary that's on Amazon Prime, basically laying out, how there are no, there, the original Hebrew people are black. There's actually a black nationalist movement in the United States called Black Hebrew Israelites. And their argument is there's no such thing as white Jewish people. The true Hebrew people are black. All the white Jews are converts. It's actually rather insane. And nonetheless, it actually has a lot of traction within the African-American community. Those two things were like kind of bumped it into the normal discourse of America. But honestly, it happens on a daily basis apart from it. And that's why we started, you know, the Fearless Action League, which encourages Christians to show up anytime there's an anti-Semitic incident near them. And, you know, we do what we can to try and show the Jewish people that we stand in solidarity with them. They are the people by which our faith was comes about. And I think that, you know, the Bible separates, you know, there's the Jews and the everybody else. Mm-hmm. And Carmen, you and I are the everybody else category. And mm-hmm. I think that still is relevant in God's redemptive plan for humanity. He still has something special planned for them.
So for those of you looking for a specific way to engage and show up in solidarity with Jewish people in your community, the Philos Action League is a place you can do that. You go to Philos Project, P-H-I-L-O-S. For those of you looking for the spelling of Philos, philosproject.org. You're looking for the Action League, also on Facebook as well. We're going to continue our conversation here with Luke Moon in just a moment. I'm going to have us pivot from the conversations that we are having to headlines related to Russia. Is Russia fighting a sacred battle against Satan as they wage war in Ukraine? Well, that's the way this is playing itself out, according to a very high profile former head of the Russian government. So what does it look like to fight a sacred battle against Satan? I mean, we talk about spiritual warfare in our own lives. What does it look like when somebody tries to internationalize that? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen. As you know, this is a rebroadcast of what we do on live radio every day. There's a lot going on at Faith Radio, tons of free resources just waiting for you at myfaithradio.com. Right now, we're inviting you to share your Faith Radio story. What do you love about Faith Radio? What do you love about Mornings with Carmen? How has this program changed the way you think or the way you live, the way you engage others in the conversations of the day? We really do want to hear from you. Your story could encourage someone else and certainly glorify God. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling 877-933-2484 and leave us a message today. Again, thanks for listening. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Continuing our conversation with Luke Moon from the Philos Project and Providence Magazine. Luke, so remind us who... I know I'm going to, you know, I'm going to butcher his name as soon as I try to say it.
Medvedev.
Yeah. Remind us who he is and then tell us what he has recently said.
Well, Medvedev is the former president of Russia. So there was a moment when Putin had, there was term limits in Russia. And so actually Medvedev became the president so that Putin could kind of restart the clock and become president again. He was basically a puppet for Putin. Anyways, he's decided, as your earlier comments, that Russia is in a sacred war against Satan, and that, you know, it's been consistently this pattern of you know, obviously even the patriarch Kirill, who's a Russian patriarch, has, you know, was, you know, blessed the war, and everybody who dies over there goes straight to heaven. There's been a lot of rhetoric going on in that direction. You know, it's not, I mean, that's fairly typical actually of, you know, wars where you're, you know, losing. I mean, if you remember, I mean, Saddam Hussein was not known as the most religious Muslim that ever lived. And yet, you know, when the Iraq war started, he was suddenly, you know, the very committed, and faithful Muslim. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, when you're up against the edge of the ring, you're against the ropes, you know, use all the rhetoric you can, and like, oh, we're up against Satan. It's you know, it shows they're losing, basically, to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. It's a helpful observation. The tendency to cast war as holy, when you need a way to motivate people who recognize that the, you know, the effort is a losing one, and the world is now against you. The language isn't just coming from former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. I'm going to get it. I promise. It's coming from others within the Russian government and sphere as well. There's this, you know, there are social media accounts and on both sides of the aisle, there are those casting this war as, you know, a real contest between, you know, between Satan and the forces of good. And depending on which side of the war you're on, you hear different people using references to God and references to the enemy of God. Yeah.
I have to complicate it a little bit, though, Carmen, because, you know, when, I mean, you and I have known each other a long time. Back in the day when there was the, you know, there was the March for Marriage before Oglethorpe, before, you know, the nationalization of same-sex marriage. It was actually, you know, the World Council of the Family was coming out of Russia. There was like the support for traditional marriage. A lot of the work was connected to, you know, people who are in Russia who are standing firm for traditional marriage, right? And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, Putin has used and the Russians have used that as part of their motivation against Ukraine, I like, doesn't necessarily undermine the fact that there has the Russian, for whatever reason, have tended to hold on to this understanding of, you know, traditional values, at least public.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that this casting of the war as being, you know, Russia on the side of God and good against those who would be pressing forward, quote unquote, Western liberal values.
Exactly. That has been the argument out of the Russians. And it's not, and the argument from a bunch of people who are also a little nervous about how this war is playing out and whose side they're on. Right. And, you know, it's not, and honestly, Carmen, the problem is that they're not 100% wrong. Right. Yeah. I mean, the political party that has been in power in Ukraine has been fairly liberal in terms of the like progressive liberal side of things. And, you know, there is a global fight that is taking place in places around the world where you have traditional values that are under attack by kind of global institutions and nonprofits and things like that. The amount of money being spent in Africa to promote abortion is insane, Carmen. It's over $1 billion. And so we're like, to think that there's nothing going on like this is, I think, also naive, but also being aware that to not give in to the kind of rhetoric, but also understand that there is a global conflict on these kinds of lines that we should not be ignorant of.
So German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said earlier this month, Vladimir Putin and his enablers have made one thing very clear. This war is not only about Ukraine. They consider their war against Ukraine to be a part of a larger crusade, a crusade against liberal democracies. President Putin quoted earlier this month from the Sermon on the Mount and basically said this war is a war against the intrusion of non-traditional families. Specific references there to, you know, to homosexual unions as his cultural justification for the war. He said, the overthrow of faith and traditional values amounts to pure Satanism. He is absolutely making it now abundantly clear, I guess, for those of us who may have missed the point and thought it was really about the reunification of Mother Russia. and his desire, you know, to sort of reach back in history and restore what was lost. I mean, you're now framing it, and I guess, you know, looking more closely at this, he really does view this as a holy war. That that does change the frame of the conversation, I think, pretty dramatically.
It does. But he's also this, here's like, you know, unfortunately the nuanced part is like he's not wrong in being alert to that, but he's also not right in invading Ukraine over that.
Right? Yeah, totally, 100%. Right. Yeah,
he's wrong in invading Ukraine, but he is right in understanding what the global conflict is. This 50-50 divide that I mentioned at the beginning, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, look at Brazil, had elections the Sunday, right. And the same thing. It was like 51-49. And we're going to have elections today. And in places across the country, Pennsylvania, Washington State, Nevada, they're going to come down to 51-49, because we are divided in half as a world, like the world is divided in half. And that's very strange. But people obviously are going to take advantage of that in a violent conflict way, like Putin. And they're also going to, you know, take advantage of it in global institutions and businesses. And like, there's a bigger conflict waging in the world. It doesn't always manifest itself violently. When it does, it's obviously a problem, and Ukraine's an example of that. But there's a big move happening.
Yeah. We gotta be very helpful. Very helpful. Hey, you guys can connect with Luke at the Philos Project or Providence Magazine. He's also active on Twitter at LukeMoon1. You've been listening to Mornings with Carmen. We've got another hour up next. If you haven't done so already, text your one word, like give your burden that you're bearing a name, one word. Text it to me at 877-933-2484. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.